Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Well, good afternoon. This is Lock and Load. This, you know, up and down temperature just wreaks havoc with me. Almost as much havoc as seems to be being wreaked upon Annie Gunners by the various judicial partners that are out there today. Like the Fifth Circuit, I never thought I would think of them as a partner, but actually they are doing something that is timely. Now, the odds of the Supreme Court weighing in on the Trump administration's move to ban bump stocks has improved exponentially. After the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals this past Friday declared that the ban was unlawfully put in place back in 2018, the decision means that there's now a split among the various appellate courts. And that, in turn, makes it more likely that SCOTUS will take it up because, constitutionally, there's only going to be one set of rules. So they will take up one of the more challenges that have been slowly making their way through the court system. This is the one we were actually waiting on to see, because other courts have upheld it. Now, this particular case is known as Cargo versus Garland, and an en banc panel of the Fifth Circuit agreed 13-3 with the argument that the ATF's sudden declaration that the bump stocks were machine guns not only reversed years of settled policy, but completely ignored the meaning of the phrase machine gun, as defined by the Gun Control Act and the National Firearms Act. Because I've always known, thought a machine gun is a weapon that has a sear built into it, where when you pull the trigger, it's just going to function over and over again, as in it's going to fire over and over again with one pull of the trigger. Not two pieces of plastic connected to where they slide back and forth. Now, a plain reading of the statutory language paired with a close consideration of the mechanics of a semi-automatic firearm, reveals that a bump stock is excluded from the technical definition of machine gun set forth in the Gun Control Act and the National Firearms Act. But even if that conclusion were incorrect, the rule of lenity would still require us to interpret the statute against imposing criminal liability. A rich legal tradition supports the well-known rule that penal laws are to be construed strictly. That being United States versus Wiltberger, as Chief Justice Marshall explained long ago, the rule is founded on the tenderness of the law for the rights of individuals and on the plain principle that the power of punishment is vested in the legislative, not in the judicial department. It is the legislature, not the court, which is to define a crime and ordain its punishment. Now, since only the legislative can do that, that means that the executive branch cannot. This executive branch government regulation violates those principles, and as an initial matter, purports to allow ATF rather than Congress to set forth the scope of criminal prohibitions, which this has a lot of far-ranging effects that we'll feel and see in coming days and weeks. Indeed, the government would outlaw bump stocks by administrative fiat, even though the very same agency routinely interpreted the ban on machine guns as not applying to the type of bump stocks at issue here, which went on for years. Nor can we say that the statutory definition unambiguously supports the government's interpretation. And as I said earlier, and as they concluded, they decided it unambiguously does not. But even if we're wrong, and the statute is at least ambiguous in this regard, and the statute is ambiguous, Congress must cure that ambiguity, not the federal courts. Now, the definition of machine gun is set forth in the National Firearms Act, which was actually put in place by the legislature, And the Gun Control Act does not apply to bump stocks. And if there were any doubt as to that conclusion, you conclude that the statutory definition is ambiguous at the very least. And the court said the rule of lenity therefore compels us to construe the statute in Cargill's favor. Either way, we must reverse. Now, with the 6th, 10th, and D.C. Circuit Appeals Court all previously upholding the ban, this case now appears ripe for Supreme Court review. And the implications of any Supreme Court decision could have an impact on Joe Biden's attempts to impose further restrictions on firearms through ATF fiat, but including the already enacted and challenged rules on unfinished frames and receivers, the pending rule on the stabilizing braces, and the gun control lobby's desired reclassification of many common semi-automatic firearms as machine guns as well. And as the Fifth Circuit makes clear, neither the Gun Control Act nor the National Firearms Act bestow the ATF with the power or authority to craft new law, but that is in essence what they have done by interpreting and redefining terms within statute so broadly that they end up being rewritten entirely. Under the definition provided of a machine gun in federal statute, a firearm must shoot automatically more than one shot by a single function of the trigger. Non-mechanical bump stocks don't allow for multiple rounds to be fired with one pull of the trigger. Instead, a bump stock helps to assist. It's actually more, it's enhanced semi-automatic shooting is all it is. And as the Fifth Circuit notes, it doesn't actually change the function of the firearm. And if Congress wants to change that definition or simply ban bump stocks via legislation, that would be one thing. But the agency itself doesn't possess the power to rewrite the laws all by themselves. You can bump fire any gun out there without a bump fire stock. You can do it with handguns. But nobody, not even the government, contends that semi-automatic rifles are machine guns. That concession damns their position. And as Cargill recognizes, if ordinary bump firing constituted automatic fire, the final rule would convert a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun simply by how marksmen use the weapon. Sort of like pistol braces. That absurd result reveals the flaw of their line of reasoning. And in addition to implying absurd results, the government's position is quite telling. It would allow the use of semi-automatic rifles, which can bump fire, but prohibit the use of non-mechanical bump stocks, even though there's no mechanical difference between the two forms of gunfire. And that's the damning part. And the meaningful difference is that with a non-mechanical bump stock, bump firing is easier and can occur at a faster rate. And that is a distinction Congress certainly could have addressed in the NFA and the Gun Control Act, but the Congress did not prohibit machine guns according to how quickly they fire. They prohibited machine guns according to the way they fire. And semi-automatic weapons do not fire automatically, but even when equipped with a non-mechanical bump stock. Very well thought out, solid opinion here, and if you know how to interpret these things, which I don't, go give it a read. Congratulations to Michael Cargill, the New Civil Liberties Alliance, and all the groups, Second Amendment focused and otherwise, who submitted the amicus briefs in support of his challenge, which will hopefully soon be taken up to the Supreme Court now that there's solid disagreement in the lower courts about the validity and the legality of the administrative ban. Which also means that I am indeed Nostradamus, because I predicted that the bump stock would be back simply because it was a rule. Simply because it was a rule. Later on in the show, I'm going to talk to Dan Zimmerman about this, because he wrote about this, and I want to see if he thinks that maybe there might have been some behind the scenes thinking going on with it not being a rule versus a law, because there was a law being proposed at the time. It's a good day. Friday was a good day. Last week's, we got plenty of good things happening. Illinois trying to go down deep into the warren of the anti-gun rabbit, but we'll see how that fares as well. They've already had the Safety Act held up, so we'll see how that goes as well. But in any event, this is a good day. This is a good day. Now the only thing that has to be addressed is, what are they going to do about all those bump stocks they took? What about the bump stock companies that went out of business? What about the people that lost money? The illegal taking? All that other stuff. There's just a few things out there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Back. This is Lock and Load. I don't know what's going on with my voice here lately. I'm just hoarse every time I get in front, start doing the show. I don't know what's up. In case you do need a reminder, the only gun owners that Democrats are really interested in punishing are the ones who want to lawfully, you know, be a law-abiding citizen, go by the right, carry the gun, all that other stuff. A 12-year-old in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, brought a gun and ammo to his middle school on Thursday and will not face any criminal charges thanks to a criminal justice reform measure approved by the Democrats in the state legislature last year. The same group of lawmakers is expected to crack down on licensed concealed carry in this year's session. According to Anne Arundel County Police Department, the tween in question is just one of dozens of youthful offenders no longer eligible for adjudication in the juvenile justice system, thanks to the new law. This new law, by the way, is called HB 0459, Juvenile Justice Reform Bill. No charges are applicable for a 12-year-old juvenile caught with a handgun or ammunition in a county school. And it sort of goes like this. On January 5th, 2023, the school resource officer at MacArthur Middle School was notified of a student who had a handgun, loaded magazine, and loose ammo in a bag at school. Student is a 12-year-old. Due to the new juvenile justice reform, House Bill 459 voted into law, there are no applicable charges. A 12-year-old can no longer be charged with certain crimes, including bringing a handgun and ammunition to school. Detectives conferred with the Anne Arundel County State's Attorney's Office and the Fort Meade Provost Marshal's Office. Since the law took effect on June the 1st, 2022, they have had dozens of cases where juvenile suspects were located, identified, and unable to be charged. And those cases include assaults, weapons violations, intimidation, harassment, drug charges, theft, burglary, sex offenses, threats, motor vehicle threats, animal abuse, arson, and incident exposures. A 12-year-old in Maryland can bring a gun to school with no opportunity for law enforcement to intervene. But if you're a concealed carry holder who so much as sets a foot in a gun-free zone like a school, you could be looking at severe legal consequences, including time behind bars. And as the police department makes clear, this isn't some exceptional case. If you're fluent and legislatees have fun with the text of 0459, but if you don't feel like reading the full bill, here's a spoiler. The law's intent is to spare young offenders from the criminal justice system, with counseling, treatment, and other wraparound services supposedly doing a better job of rehabilitating them than time in juvenile detention. Now, back in the early days of the country and in the 19th century and such, we didn't have that much recidivism. But that's because if you got locked up, you stayed locked up, and if you committed certain crimes, you got hanged. The legal system was not nearly as complex as it is nowadays, with as many technicalities and the labyrinth of laws that all of these guys have. I completely understand why you have to go to law school to learn how to do this, because there's no way to keep up with it. But in this particular case, given the fact that we most of these murder victims are gangbangers, and gangbangers become gangbangers at a relatively early age, depending. I don't know. The point they're trying to make is they would rather rehabilitate a child, a 12-year-old. And I think of a child as I think of a 12-year-old as a child. Maybe they think that it's better to rehabilitate them, and that might actually be the case for some kids. It might even be the case for the 12-year-old in question. But I doubt that it's true for every one of the juveniles who the department describes, and that's a problem. Their juvenile justice system, whatever it is, it has issues, but that doesn't mean the lawmakers can address them by simply shunting as many juvenile offenders away from the system as they possibly can. And are there some offenses, particularly for very young individuals, where the criminal system isn't appropriate? Absolutely, you betcha. But under 0459, they basically adopted the position that until a tween or young teenager, the number of chargeable offenses depends on the age of the alleged perpetrator, is actually accused of committing a serious felony or violent offense, half of the criminal justice system has to stand idly by. Police may be able to make an arrest, but prosecutors can't charge the suspect. So here you have the state of Maryland that have taken it upon themselves to have the discretion to decide which law-abiding citizens get to exercise their civil rights. Now, I believe that that discretion is an inherent part of the law, but both in terms of deciding whether someone has committed an arrest-worthy offense and whether they should be prosecuted for it. But that discretion is particularly important when dealing with cases that are on the margins. But HB 0459 removes that discretion from both police and prosecutors. And so what they basically decriminalized taking a gun to school if you're a certain age. That's what it boils down to. They have decriminalized taking a gun to school if you're a certain age. So the numbers will come down in the youthful offenders. The numbers will come down in Maryland. Everybody will sit back and say, look, our laws are working. The numbers have come down. And one day soon in Maryland, some kid, knowing, because this will get out, some kid will get out there and know that they can take a gun to school. If they get caught with it, they're not going to get in trouble. And one of those kids that's going to take a gun to school is going to be a kid that intends to shoot at the school. And then this will blow up in their face, and then they will say, see, we need to ban all guns. They have not made Maryland a safer place. They have made Maryland a very dangerous place. A really dangerous place. So, which means that we're going to get to go through this again. We'll hear about another youthful offender in Maryland that carries a gun to school. And maybe they'll catch him with a gun before he has a chance to do it, which would be splendid. But, you know, sooner or later, it's going to happen. And then it will be the gun blame, not the rules, not the laws, not the policies put in place, but the gun. The gun. And it will not be the case. It has never been the case, and it will not be the case then. It will be simply because it was made possible by new policies put in place to fudge the numbers. While they try to have their cake and eat it too and put all of this stuff in a place to further enhance what they hope is the, you know, the progressive utopia. So stand by and pay attention. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At Z&H Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, Z&H Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. Z&H Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. A Georgia grand jury has finished its investigation into former President Trump's attempt to reverse his 2020 election loss. The grand jury's final report is complete and has been handed over to the Fulton County District Attorney. She will have to decide if criminal charges will be filed. Students at the University of Idaho are returning to classes today for the first time since a suspect in the murder of four of their classmates has been arrested.
I feel better, sort of, knowing that they have the suspect in custody, that there's a chance that this might all be behind us soon enough.
I think a lot of people are wondering how he planned it out, how it all came together, and
why.
Brian Koberger was arrested December 30th and charged with 4 counts of murder. Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin is out of the hospital. Doctors caring for Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said Hamlin is back in Buffalo and starting the next phase of his recovery. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. There's a question out there right now. There's a lot of things they're trying to make happen, and one of the things is if you want to foster a child, in some places they want you to give up your Second Amendment right. And the question of should you have to, that's not a theoretical question. Instead, it's at the heart of a lawsuit, which was recently heard by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals on Thursday. And the case could ultimately have implications for hundreds of thousands of foster parents and in-home child care providers across the country. At issue is a state law in Illinois that requires all foster parents and at-home daycare operators to store their firearms in a disassembled state without ammo in locked storage inaccessible to children, and that ammunition permitted on daycare home premises shall be kept in locked storage separate from that of a disassembled firearm inaccessible to children. While the statute doesn't ban firearms possession outright, it does require that any and all guns are rendered useless in the home for self-defense, and a provision that the Supreme Court found unconstitutional when applied to the general public in Hillary versus D.C. That decision not only threw out the district's ban on handguns, but its virtually identical storage requirement as well. And an Illinois couple have been trying for almost 5 years to get Illinois law overturned, and the case now edges closer to a potential Supreme Court review. The couple, Jennifer and Darren Miller, have raised two foster children. Jennifer is only licensed, is also licensed to run a daycare out of their family home in Shelbyville, Illinois, about an hour southeast of the state capital, Springfield. Hoping to overturn these restrictions, they have sued the DCFS in federal court in April 2018. They were backed by the Washington-based Second Amendment Foundation, the Illinois State Rifle Association, and the gun rights nonprofit group Illinois Carry. 4 years of litigation later, a federal judge in the Central District of Illinois threw their case out in March 2022. And we get from this U.S. District Judge Sue Meyerkoff, a Barack Obama appointee, writes, a number of courts have held or implied that the presence of children militates in favor of a given place being sensitive. And she found that per the U.S. Supreme Court's 2008 ruling in Heller, foster homes and home daycare centers are places with more strict, where a more strict gun control measure is warranted. The fact that daycares are designated spaces for the care of young children is a powerful indicator that they may be sensitive places, she opines. Moreover, a ban on firearms in daycares is closely analogous to a ban on firearms in schools, which is one of the core presumptively lawful measures referenced in Heller. The Millers then filed for an appeal. On Thursday, their attorney Joe Masterman with Cooper and Kirk told a three-judge Seventh Circuit panel that it has the state's that it's the state's burdens to show how the daycare and foster care gun registrations fit within the history of gun regulation in the U.S., which they, by the way, don't. And it is a burden, he argued, that the state has failed to meet. Mr. Masterman said the state does not identify a single historical law that restricts firearm possession by adults in their private homes in order to prevent children from accessing those firearms. Now, the state of Illinois, they basically are arguing that is that daycare centers and foster homes are equivalent to schools, which the Supreme Court has said are sensitive places that have historically been off limits to firearm possession. The person doing the arguing, Illinois Deputy Solicitor General Sarah Hunger, said, all three facilities are facilities that revolve around the care, education, and protection of children. They are licensed and overseen by the state. When children are there, the state licensees are responsible for their care in a sort of in loco parentis setup. That is a straightforward application of Bruin, and this court should affirm on that basis alone. The problem here is that it's not, they're not just a licensed facility. They are also someone's home. I don't know how it works in zoning, for example, but I have a radio studio in my house. And except when I'm doing radio, this is just a house. And as a matter of fact, even when I'm doing radio, except for this room, everything else is just a house. So for the purposes of that, the fact that it's always somebody's home and it's in a place zoned as residential homes, that should come into play. And the Illinois statute doesn't declare that these facilities are true sensitive places where guns are banned outright. Instead, they've imposed a storage requirement, which suggests that lawmakers may not have believed that they had the authority to completely prohibit the possession of all firearms on the premise of the licensed foster home or in-home daycare. The problem is that their storage thing has nothing to do with anything about safety, because the only reason to own a gun, right, in my opinion, now I'm not a competitor, I don't hunt, right, I'm not a duck hunter, none of that stuff. The only reason for me to own a gun is self-defense. So taking a gun apart and taking it and storing it in one secure storage place and taking the ammunition and storing it in another secure storage place, I may as well not have a gun. I'm not going to have time to sit it down on my mat and hope that I've got all the parts and throw it all together and everything, stick a magazine in there, load the magazine, stick the magazine in. Oh, now we can get into the gunplay. That's not how that works. So storage requirements make using a gun in self-defense virtually impossible, something that the Supreme Court has squarely declared is unconstitutional. For many years, though, Texas used to have that. But Republican legislators changed the storage mandate in one crucial way back in 2021. Out of Texas, Senator Brian Birdwell. Under current law, parents who wish to be foster parents and a gun owner must choose between storing their firearms and their ammunition separately, meaning the gun is separately locked and the ammunition is separately locked in separate locations, or storing them with a trigger guard on the gun. Those provisions burden a Texan's right to self-protection, particularly in an immediate need situation, and consequently discourage individuals from becoming or remaining foster parents. The minimum standards of the Human Resources Code must allow firearms and ammunition to be stored together in the same locked location. And that was approved on a vote of 20-11. All Democrat senators except for State Senator Eddie Lucio opposed the bill. Democrats. Birdwell, while foster parents are still legally obliged to safely store their firearms and ammunition under this legislation, they're no longer required to store the firearm locked separate from the ammunition. Our state is always in need of willing and capable foster parents, and HB 1387 extends the existing right of most Texans to be foster parents, ensuring there are fewer barriers facing foster parents. qualified individuals ready to help our children. Do you think that's a reasonable middle ground to strike there? Well, you know, I guess it really comes down to how this works out. Now, if I'm a foster parent, right? If I'm a foster parent, I would probably err on the side of being able to defend myself. Sorry to say it. I know that everybody out there is like, oh, but Bill, the children need help. Yes, they do. They sure do. But when the law is not going to help me, how am I going to provide them with a safe home if I can't defend them in the event that somebody comes crashing through my door while we're all enjoying our turkey pot pies? How's that going to work? Or the break-ins, or the home invasions, or, you know, whatever. When they're out and about, what are the rules when a foster parent is out and about? If they're a concealed carry permit holder, can they carry a gun? Or does this only pertain to guns that are not on their person at any given time? There's a few things I don't know about these details. If the court rules that the Illinois law is fine because you give up your Second Amendment rights when you sign up to be a foster parent, you can see states like, you expect to see California and New York to ban gun ownership outright for everybody in those categories. Once again, trying to do everything they can to criminalize a fundamental civil right. But we may even see that come to pass if the Seventh Circuit decides in the favor of the Millers, given the massive resistance to the right to keep and bear arms, embraced by governors like Newsom and Phil Murphy. But the end result here is that the children, it's not about the children. Because if it was about the children, they would want there would be no hurdles for qualified adults that want to raise and foster a child in something nurturing. There would be no hurdles for them. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now.
I feel better, have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. Coming out of Washington State, I think it is. No, Oregon. Oregonia. Excuse me. Sorry. They're so, you know, they're becoming one state in my mind. Matthew Schindler, a defense attorney for Kaneko Tyre Moore, a convicted felon, states that the definition of the people in the Second Amendment is not limited to law-abiding, responsible citizens. This coming from a Thursday letter to the editor in the Oregonian summarizes. Schindler's theory is that the government can't demonstrate that the criminal charge is not consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulations. Well, the legal critics, of course, look at this and say, not so fast. The Supreme Court characterized the holders of Second Amendment rights as law-abiding citizens no fewer than 14 times. This coming from Portland federal prosecutor Leah Bolstad, argued back, claiming that the notably excludes convicted felons and citing Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh's admissions in the Bruin decision that the ruling doesn't disturb the long-standing prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons. What's absent from that argument are founding era citations to back it up and connect long-standing to the founding era. And that's because they didn't. And that's from Justice Breyer's dissent, which is arguably the only thing he got right. Prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons and the mentally ill and laws imposing conditions and qualifications on the commercial sale of arms have their origins in the 20th century. Founding era legislatures did not strip felons of the right to bear arms simply because of their status as a felon. Now, it's not a stretch. First of all, here we go with the whole recidivism thing. They didn't have that recidivism thing because murderers were hanged and lesser felons received very long and harsh punishments. And that and an armed populace raised in a militia culture that would not tolerate, let alone breed predators and dependents, meant that the social cancer of collectivist prosecutors turning known threats loose to continue victimizing the productive citizenry, that wasn't the issue modern-day collectivists have turned it into. And as David Kodry says, if you can't be trusted with a gun, you can't be trusted without a custodian. And, of course, the letter writer is oblivious to all of this. He writes, given this logic, there is no limitation on the types of people that can possess guns. Then why are there state and federal laws prohibiting various types of gun ownership for those people who are 21 years or younger? Are folks in this category not considered people? Why shouldn't children have the right to possess guns and any type of gun they want? Did the nation's historical tradition of gun regulation even consider the age of when people could legally possess guns? I got my first gun that was my gun when I was 12. Now, I didn't walk around with it or anything because it was a single-shot 22 long rifle. And my parents were okay with that. And there's no shortage of stories about boys taking their guns to school with them so they could bag a rabbit on the way home. Kojay's written an article about a kid that took his rifle on a Santa Monica bus when he was a boy. But we're talking about the founding era here, and that's what, from what we can recall, the Continental Congress Delegate Tench Koch's February 20, 1788, Pennsylvania Gazette. There he advocated the power of the sword, opponents say, is in the hands of Congress. My friends and countrymen, it is not so. The powers of the sword are in the hands of the yeomanry of America from 16 to 60. Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Now, that's very encouraging, but it still doesn't tell us what the law was at that time. And for that, we can turn to what I would like, you know, I would have previously considered to be an unlikely source, Fordham University professor Saul Cordell. Due to his advocacy for taxing guns kept at home and arguing the best way to legally respect the memory of a black militia captain lynched by the Klan would be to keep Otis McDonald unarmed, you know, some people referred to him as the Slippin' Jimmy of the revisionist history movement. So what does he tell us about infants and arms bearing in the era of the Second Amendment? He writes, simply put, minors in the founding era had no legal standing to assert a claim in court to vindicate their rights, including a Second Amendment type claims. Well, doesn't that leave whatever I say here, dead in the water? But not really, because like Breyer in Bruin, Cornell manages to root out an acorn. Given the status of minors in American law at the time of the Second Amendment's enactment, there is no credible legal argument that an infant might have made regarding a Second Amendment right to purchase or use a gun without the permission of a legal guardian. Ah. So the understanding at the time was that the parents would have to say, they would have a say in whatever their dependent children could or could not do. So according to this, there were no founding era laws saying a boy or girl couldn't have a gun if the adults raising them wanted them to. See, this is something that a leftist has opened the door to. And they may wish that they had not opened that door. If we're going to go back to a historical understanding of parental rights, so much for bills aimed at giving the state the final word on puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery without parental consent. Get what I'm saying? I've always known this would come back to the gun issue. I've always known this. So much for school boards sicking the feds on parents protesting subversive agendas. But here's a historical understanding for them that addresses both points of the hyperbolic literary's concerns. Remove violent criminals from society and leave our guns and our children alone, just like the founders intended. This is one of those moments that you sit back and you relish the thought. I mean, I'm real sorry to put it that way, but every now and again, this is the problem with the progressive left wing. Everything that they advocate for, everything they want, everything they put into policy, it always finds a way to work its way back to them. And it always bites them on their fourth point of contact. And these are one of those moments that I sit back and just relish. I just relish them. Now, all that remains now is we need to get this in the hands of, I don't know, say a legislator and get him to think about things. Get him to consider things. Because we, you know, in a lot of cases, me, you, all of us, there's a lot of things that we have forgotten. There's a lot of things that we maybe learned in school or something. That was something I never learned in school. But now that I know it, and now that you put in, since we're going to get out here and take, see, if you want to look at a template for freedom, it's all going to come down to gun ownership. And the template of gun ownership, it cuts in a lot of ways. For example, as an example, it cuts in a way to where now, since this guy opened the door up to this and they're asking the questions, well, when did this happen and where did this happen and what's the historical precedent of it? One guy thought there was no historical precedent of it. I'm sure as soon as he finds all this out, there'll be a lot of dismay on his part. And that's fine. That's fine. But that's when your whole agenda is based upon feelings designed to create control, and you don't look into any sort of logical or factual or legal context, you are setting yourself up for failure. Because eventually all things can't work their way back to what is the real truth. Not my truth, not your truth, not their truth, but reality. And reality is not something that is open to interpretation, no matter how much they may want it to be. So I just find this quite amusing, to be honest with you. I find it just very amusing that they've gotten out there and they've said, okay, well, what is this? Because this has got to be the way it is. There was never anything like that put in place. Because I've been asking this question the whole time. If a child can grow up and decide whether or not, you know, if a female child grows up, you know, 6 years old, says, I want to be a boy, everybody has to go, okay, but they can't vote, they can't own a gun, all this other stuff. Why are we giving them that decision? Oh, that should be all done due to parental, consent? Oh, there's some context, some historical context. Now all we got to do is get the legislatures and the judiciary to see these things for what they are. It's going to be a fight, but it's out there. Coming up next, Dan Zimmerman from The Truth About Guns. This is Lock and Load.
Years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.